With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts.
Gong it out, Vic, Petros, and Money, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, AM570 LA Sports. Listen to us live or podcast the show via that iHeartRadio app. Download it now if you are going to be stuck somewhere, not near a radio or television for Game 3 of the World Series, because we allow you to stream Dodger games for free. Dodgers, Rays, series tied 1-1, Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates and the whole crew at 3 p.m., first pitch just after 5 p.m., Walker Buehler, Charlie Morton, and you can hear it on the iHeartRadio app when you tap that AM570 LA Sports icon.
All right, we are excited. It is World Series Game 3 day, and we have, as Matt would say, myriad emotions going through the studio. Tim Cates does not share the confidence of Matt Money Smith. David Vasse always just talking down to us because he's there.
I'm not the one that's got to face him, you idiots.
I don't have to face him. Yeah, we know, Dave. We're pretty aware.
What are you freaking out about? You don't have to face him.
Cates, what's your confidence level, Catesy? Because you're the one that was on Scam talking and complaining. Hey, Blackmore.
What was the tone of Scam this AM?
Blackmore, it's a World Series, all right? You guys are in there talking about running around the Rose Bowl and losing all kinds of weight. It's a World Series day.
Oh, no. The first thing that was said between those two when Blackmore walked in, Ronnie goes, "Hey, see, you got the memo for the Dodger cap today."
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, they both have the same hat.
Yes.
"Hey, you wore yours. I'm going to wear mine."
So they bonded over their Dodger fandom.
And now they're in there with their chin strap masks, just talking, just chopping it up. When we're trying to talk, I mean, come on, Blackmore. You want to join the conversation? Join it, man. You know, you want to make fun of San Jose State Air Force earlier?
I'm tired of your conversation.
Hey, let's talk World Series then, man.
I heard he really put it on you for the old San Jose State Air Force game, huh?
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I was like, I got San Jose State Air Force. I'm glad they're playing. I mean, no one else around here is playing. And he's like, that's a big one. I was like,
I hope
they fly an F-16 in your ass.
I heard Joe and Troy love the F-16 flyover. Huge fans.
Oh, it's so funny because
huge fans.
We had our, you know, that was the day after.
I am an ardent supporter of the military, and I appreciate everything that they do.
You didn't have to do that, Troy. No. We had the call the next day with Coach Calhoun, and Air Force has the longest win streak going in college football, 9 games right now. Blackmore.
You know what he just showed me on the other side of the glass?
I don't like the masturbation motion there, Blackmore. You're an executive, Brian. He was like, guys, you got to get here to Colorado Springs, and you see the flyover with those F-16s. And we're like,
kidding.
We're like, the game's in San Jose.
We do it before every practice. We gas those mother scratchers up, and we say, fly over.
I want to dipstick you, Blackmore, with your skinny body. Are you confident about the Dodgers tonight?
This is a serious question. Are you going to have to do the broadcast on Fox with a mask on?
No.
Not good.
Do they do it with a mask on?
I don't think
they do.
No.
I don't know. Some do.
Santa Clara, they made Al and Chris do that for their on cameras, and they were not pleased. But no, I think we're good. You know, hey, well, dude, let's just do the word of the day. I'll do it for you then. We'll talk about it.
He heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Since nobody wants to talk about their level of confidence because Matt shamed all the panickers, while you guys are now huddled in the corner like, don't hit me, Matt. I believe the Dodgers are going to win.
Oh, I got a big bat, and it's called stats. I'll beat you upside the head.
Their offense sucks.
There it is.
But
low or loud is 130 average.
Loser.
The hell is that?
Mr. Wendell.
Jeez, yeah, Wendell.
Blowing it out
kinda
the street.
Stupid name is Wendell.
I am going to do a game. Today's word is game. I am going to do a football game on Saturday night with Alex Faust from the Kings on Saturday night live.
Go Kings, go.
On FS1. And I, for one, am really looking forward to getting back to work. And it'll be on FS1. I've done all the things I'm supposed to do. I got my COVID test at Fox, and I'm good.
I'm positive, but they're going to let it slide.
I'm positive that we're going to have a great call.
Yeah!
And I did it. I went to the Riviera Barbershop yesterday in Redondo Beach.
Seemed like you left a little bit extra on top.
I mean, how short do you got it to be, man? I mean,
no, normally you really go hard.
I left it up to Jared at the Riviera, and he
left you a little style.
He knew there was going to be a game, And he cut it pretty good. I mean,
so the wood are all
faded
around.
Up pretty
oh,
good.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to bark at a coach. Pitbull style. So I got this going for me with my hair. And then
your dad's excited. You sent him a picture?
No. He'll see it on TV.
Yeah.
Loser. And
I'm sorry?
I want you to cut. And then my mom's all mad. Why'd you do it? And then my dad's like, what? Why have you left your hair? It's like, I can't win with anybody.
Oh, your mom liked it long?
But Matt, more importantly.
It is weird that moms like long hair on their boys.
I don't know. Want them all to look like Fabian. You know, I'm really good looking in the face. So, what's so funny?
Nothing.
Now, Matt.
The text I just got.
The most important thing when it comes to San Jose State versus Air Force has nothing to do with the actual game. It has everything to do with what music I can get Fox to license to go to break, which is a new power I found a couple years ago.
I mean, they're banging Althea on the World Series. It's really got me going.
Yeah, and just wait till I get the Arizona Wildcats and Al Stewart comes with the Year of the Cat, like every freaking break. But we did license.
Cheers.
We were able to get Off We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder.
Okay.
Because that's Air Force theme song, so that's cool. That's their fight song, so they couldn't
take... So you submitted a request. This is what I want you to go after.
We need these songs.
Okay.
Right Into the Danger Zone. Ronnie?
Loggins, huh? Signing off on that?
Not available.
I'll tell you why. I was going to say.
Because effing Top Gun is coming out, and they have a hold on it. So my producer, Brad Weimer, was all geeked.
And he was like, too.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, we got to get it. We got to get it.
Okay.
And it came right back. No.
Now, hold on. Let me get a pen. I want to write down all these songs.
Do you yell at that guy like you yelled at us during the summer tour when we couldn't play songs because of licensing reasons?
Well, you guys earned that. Okay. You guys earned that.
Yeah, you earned that. Because we're a radio show and we usually play whatever we want.
Exactly.
For TV, it's
Stop
different.
Stop being so scared.
Okay. All right, Cates. It's different.
Get a set of balls, huh?
So, Kenny Loggins.
I heard Legal's in San Antonio. They don't know what the F is.
Kenny Loggins, rejected. Rejected.
All right.
Iron Eagle, Never Say Die by King Cobra.
Love.
With a K. This was the real killer.
How the hell are you not going to get this license? It hasn't been played in 20 years.
They wouldn't give it to us.
That's horses.
How do I not get Iron Eagle, Never Say Die by King Cobra? How can I not get
King Cobra can't afford to just let that one go.
How do they just say no? It's like Al Stewart's agent. He never even asked. He just said no.
Cheers.
We're still waiting on Fly Like an Eagle.
Okay.
Steve Miller. We're still waiting on a big old jet airliner, but that's not Air Force. We got Air Force One by Nelly. Thanks.
Okay. You know what I'm waiting for, right? You know what I'm waiting for.
Learning to Fly by Pink Floyd. I've also put that in.
Or Learning to Fly by Tom Petty. Be great as well.
Yeah, because he's celebrating a birthday
right, or
a death day or whatever.
What is Ronnie's favorite song about flight? Did you not put the request in to honor?
I couldn't do it.
Oh, come on. Come on, really?
I could not
you
do
You couldn't do it for me?
I just met this producer. I don't think he'd get the joke.
Jeez.
Look at how he's dejected.
You know,
guy does the playlist every day.
I'm going
puts
home.
Together a great playlist
I'm
every
going
day.
Home.
All right, I'll ask.
You gotta get Aeroplane by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What if I just sing it here?
Gotta get it, man.
I like pleasure spiked with pain.
Music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
You gotta get it.
And do you know the way to San Jose, Dionne Warwick?
Okay, did you get that?
No. I have to submit for that.
How about a little Bruce Hornsby? You met him.
Does he have an Air Force song?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he can make one up on the fly.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Get a job. Join the Air Force.
Has your producer at all asked you if you're prepped for the game yet? As much as you're prepping for the music?
Oh, you know I'm prepped for the game.
Now, that's a shot.
You know I prep for the game.
Hey, Petros, we're going to come to you for a tease on the defense. I got a great song, though,
for
you.
Let me read you a quote from Troy Calhoun when I ask him how he's going to take care of the perimeter game from San Jose State, which is quite formidable. Petros, flexibility is the key to air power. Yeah! Gonna take a ride into the danger zone.
You know what you got to do? And I mean this sincerely.
That was sincere.
No. I mean, you got to get a musician to write original compositions that are eerily close in sound to like Danger Zone.
We're gonna get sued.
You know what I mean?
Like the guy, the Conan O'Brien guy, used to have that guy
exactly.
come out.
Exactly.
We're gonna fly into one area that is a forward area.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, we've been
moderately trepidatious zone.
Our game has been tagged by a bunch of different entities, and we have
guys. Our YouTube stream was tagged by actually had to take it down because of all the music.
I asked for E40 for some Bay Area hyphy, Andre Nicotina, Ayo for Yayo. So you're not going to want to miss that dance party. FS
7 p.m.
It's popping off.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. kick.
How you like that, Blackmore?
Hey, Blackmore, let's see you calling a game this weekend. What game you got?
You should go take a walk.
Yeah, long walk off a short Rose Bowl pier. You should go stick an Arroyo Seco in your ass.
Even in there anymore, guys?
No.
He gone. What a jerk.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
500. As in $500. Bonusfinder.com. Did this with cheeseburgers. They did it with ice cream, and now they're doing it with Halloween candy. You know, a big morning show topic is staking your claim with either A, the best Halloween candy, or B, the worst Halloween candy, and the laziest of the morning shows just do the candy corn conversation. Oh. Is candy corn delicious, or is it waxy? And I will
make it or break it.
Tip of the cap to Bean, who staked his claim a good 20 years ago. That candy corn was being unfairly ridiculed because he found it to be such a delicious treat. And it has grown into, and it's disgusting, but it has grown into an annual for most morning shows. Oh, let's do the candy corn thing. But however, I digress. Bonusfinder.com is going to hand somebody $500 to be their official professional Halloween candy tester. You can send them your resume as to why you would be the proper candy tester that will rank.
I got COVID. I can't taste or smell.
Based on, and tell me if you believe these are the proper criteria. Taste. I don't know if I agree with that. Complexity of flavors used. So I think that would be, hey, here's the Jolly Rancher. Do you agree with the entire flavor
profile?
I love
the texture of these mounds.
Price of each treat and value for the money.
This coconut texture is really doing it for me.
You know, there's something about that generic 68-cent bag of orange circus peanuts that you just can't help but really enjoy because of the value. The size of each portion, which doesn't really work for Halloween candy because you can get the bite. I mean, like, literally a bite of a Snickers bar is now available in that little square packaging as opposed to even the fun size. Flavor profile.
No, I've never thought anybody could make Halloween candy.
Oh, it gets better.
It's like Gabe Kapler is doing this.
It gets better. Healthiness.
Oh.
It's Halloween candy. There's no health. That needs to be thrown out.
I hope there's not a razor blade in it. That's the healthiness.
And here are the ones that'll really upset you and why we made this the number of the day.
I've already been upset.
Oh, get ready to be upset again.
I'm ready.
Rapper.
Not as pissed as Showalter. Showalter.
Rapper effectiveness and appeal. Basically the curb appeal of the candy. You know, I wasn't going to try this candy, but boy, that wrapper really has gotten me excited, and now I'm going to go ahead and dig in.
I hate lemons, but the Lemonhead guy looked so benevolent.
I really do like Boston baked beans, but this box is so weird looking jaw ache score?
Okay, I'm out.
Oh, here it is, and finally.
I'm out.
Finally.
Jaw ache score?
My jaw aches.
What am I, John Cena? Do I gotta take human growth hormone just to?
You know these gummy bears are a lot tougher to chew than Sour Patch Kids, so I'm gonna dig it. And the most offensive criteria by which BonusFinder.com's Halloween candy will be judged.
That Tiffany's really getting after that guy's very, very just. He loves hitting that drum.
Suitable for those with dietary needs and allergies.
Excuse me?
Suitable for those with dietary needs and allergies.
Let's just not have Halloween then.
How are you going to rate a Halloween candy based on whether or not it is suitable? Look, I love a payday, but my God, the sight of it's going to kill that poor kid.
Yeah, look at that kid. He's got diabetes.
I mean, It's suitable like, look, for those with dietary needs.
To me, that's like, okay, this is a score bar. It's candy. You can eat it. This is Wham Wham. This is not good for your diet.
Wham. Now listen. Is nitrous technically bad for you? Yes, but it's suitable for those with dietary needs and allergies.
If you have diabetes, you're going to want to suck this whipped cream can as opposed to eat that Three Musketeers. Ronnie, Matt, they ruined everything.
This is every song of the day.
Ta-da.
Baseball Game are an indie electronic synthesizer duo with our song of the day called Baseball Game. Yeah. Because it is a Frogman Friday and the Petros and Money Show's on the radio with an early flex alert. As we're in great anticipation of Game 3 of the World Series baseball game versus the Tampa Bay Rays at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. And great sports talk will clear the way for Tim Kates.
Great sports talk.
We'll be on deck with the extended World Series edition of your Morongo Casino Dodger pregame show coming up at 3 o'clock. Sweets for everybody.
They ruin everything.
How do you put that in there? You know, it's a Halloween candy ranker.
A few years ago when Tom Petty died, they did a beautiful tribute. You know, and they always sing Don't Back Down. I won't back down, but because he's from Gainesville. Yeah, but after he died, I mean, they really sang it. The whole crowd, 100,000 plus, heartfully. And I retweeted it like, wow, this is great. I miss these crowds or something like that. Somebody, I don't see any masks.
I saw that.
Yeah. Freaking 4 years ago.
Yeah. Jerk face.
Stop!
How can you not get excited about a stadium of 80,000 people singing a beautiful song all together to
encourage
their team?
Stop screaming! Stop screaming about everything all the time. Unless you're panicked about the Dodgers, then you can scream. We'll be right back. Scott Miller will join us. We'll see how panicked he is.
This hour of the Petros and Money Show podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah, Blue Chew.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, guys.
It's not.
Blue Chew brings you the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. Now in a chewable form, the first ever to do it.
Yeah, it does. And you can even do it with a full stomach and still get the lead you need in your pencil.
Guys, don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about going to the doctor. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and be all embarrassed or wait in line at the pharmacy.
Yeah, get over yourself. Who cares? Like, you're the only one that wants to have a real pencil going, you know what I'm saying, brother, with all the lead necessary to do the job?
It ships right to your door in a discreet package. Right now, we got a special deal for the listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. And your first shipment is free when you use the special promo code PMS. Just pay $5 shipping.
To hell with being embarrassed. Scream it from the rooftops. I chew blue with Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com. Promo code PMS. Try it free.
They're tweeting. They're on Facebook, Instagram. Interact with the show at AM570LASports.com.
For you, our loyal listener.
Petros and Money continues now.
Y'all Riley.
Petros and Money, AM570LASports, your home of the World Series. Game 3 tonight. You'll hear the Dodger pregame. Tim Cates, Alana Rizzo, Dave Vassay, Dave Roberts will join them, and a host of other luminaries. Beginning at 3 p.m. and the first pitch just after 5 p.m., Walker Buehler, Charlie Morton. You can hear it right here, and if you can't be near a radio, download the iHeart Radio app. Click on the AM570LASports icon to stream it for free.
Joining us now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, a guy that even appreciated our Year of the Cat intro.
That's the truth.
Scott Miller, a great baseball writer. And
seemed like it really blew him away.
Thoughtful man, of course. He loves Al Stewart. He recognizes our attempt to get Al Stewart on the air before the World Series is over to inspire Dodger reliever Tony Gonsolin. Scott Miller joins us on your Dodger station. The World Series is tonight, Game 3, and we got it right here. You can podcast it, or you can podcast our show, but you can stream it live on the air with the iHeartRadio app, our show too. Scott from Bleacher Report is a great man and thorough. Thank you, Scott. How are you?
Hey, guys, real good. Yeah, I did enjoy. I was listening to the broadcast in the press box the other night, you know, listening to Charlie and Rick as I watched the game and covered the game, and yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for music anyway. I know way more about music than most things that, let's put it this way, if I knew enough about, like, something really important as I do about 70s, 80s, 90s music and rock and roll, I could be real dangerous.
Well, you're going to be upset, Scott, because we were rebuffed by Al Stewart, who lives in Los Angeles. He says he won't do Year of the Cat on us for Zoom. I mean, you know what?
Because he hasn't played since the start of the pandemic. That was his excuse.
I don't think he said that. I think his agent just blew us off, and we got to
circle back. What else does he have to do?
Exactly.
You'll love this, Scott. We have an entree through Dave Mason of Traffic, we believe. We're going to be able to get
We're going to use it.
We don't give up.
We're pulling out all the stops.
We don't give up. neither of these teams are going to give up either. Ha ha! In the World Series, Scott.
There you go.
Do you see this matchup as pivotal as everybody else does in LA? Everybody in LA seems to be freaking out about this Charlie Morton guy who looks old in the face.
Well, relatively speaking, he is old. He's 36. It's ancient, especially in a game that is tilting younger and younger and younger, you know. I think it's an important game for the Dodgers because Walker Buehler's on the mound. And, you know, I mean, with the Dodgers have depth in pitching, but, you know, I mean, already in game two they went to a bullpen day and, you know, they threw out about 9 different pitchers out there and that didn't go so well. I think, to me, Buehler and Clayton Kershaw are probably going to combine to start 4 games. You know, I think the Dodgers need to win 3 of those 4, let's say, to win a World Series title. Now, obviously, there are other paths to victory if what I just said doesn't happen, but I think those paths would be a lot more difficult than if they win 3 of the 4 starts that Buehler and Kershaw make.
In terms of what you've seen from Buehler, and I don't know how much Tampa Rays you've seen this year, Scott, but the one thing that just jumps out is Miller has not gone through a lineup 3 times. They pull him after 5 innings. Do you think that's just strategy, and do you think that strategy will change tonight, not only for the Rays, but the Dodgers as well, because they have 2 really good starters going tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the Rays are going to change their strategy with Charlie Morton. I was covering the game, his last start in San Diego against the Astros in the ALCS when he went into the, you know, early in the 6th inning, he had a 2-hit shutout, and they took him out anyway. And Kevin Cash, the manager, after that game and then subsequently has reiterated that, look, this is the way we do things. And, yes, Charlie Morton had a 2-hit shutout going, and he was going great, but he had faced the first 2 batters of the lineup for the 3rd time, and we don't like our starters go through a lineup a 3rd time. And that's just, you know, in an organization steeped in analytics, that's the way they roll. So, no, I would not expect – I mean, as good as Charlie Morton has been this postseason, and he's been really good, and he's going to be tough tonight, but I would not expect him to go much, you know, deep into the Dodgers the 3rd time around the order. I think by the time they get that, you know, you're going to see a steady diet of, you know, the stable of guys, as Kevin Cash says, to throw 98. You're going to see, you know, Morton for 5 or 6 innings, and then it's going to go Nick Anderson and Diego Castillo and, you know, Steve Fairbanks and guys like that.
In terms of the Rays offense, it was billed as one of the worst offenses to make it to a World Series. It's obviously a different year, so it's kind of hard to, I guess, compare statistics year in and year out. But it was an offense that got 10 hits in Game 2. Should we feel as though that offense is now awakened, or did they get 10 hits because they went up against a bullpen game and guys like Dylan Floro and Alex Wood and Kelly and McGee?
Yeah, I don't think you can necessarily say their offense is awakened because, you know, baseball is such a strange game, as you guys know. You know, one game doesn't necessarily mean that everything's right in the world or everything's wrong in the world. And I think tonight's going to be telling. And if the Rays pound out a few hits against Walker Buehler, I think then that'll be a pretty good indication. You know what? Maybe their offense has woken up a little bit. But, you know, the one thing, the guy to watch the other day, Brandon Lau, hit 2 home runs, and he's a guy that's just been having a brutal month of October. He's hitting about .120, and it was to the point where, you know, Kevin Cash was asked before game 2, is there a chance you might sit him down? He was going that bad. You know, Kevin Cash's reaction basically was, you know, no, you got to go to the dance. You got to – the people that took you to the dance, that you got to stick with them. And, you know, he said
Brandon Lau is very capable of going on a 10-game tear. We've seen it this year. You know, he just needs to get started, number one. Number two, we don't need a 10-game tear. We only need him to go get on a tear for about five more games. So the question to me is, one, the general question is you just asked, does 10 hits mean the Rays are starting to wake up their bats? And number two, within that, is Brandon Lau specifically starting to get in the groove? And, you know, those, again, I'm not going to say off one game they are, but those are two things for fans to keep an eye on tonight. You know, Brandon Lau stepped in the first inning and, you know, hits another homer or you know, finds an alley for a double, then it might be like, you know, maybe they are waking up.
You know, we're sitting here in L.A., Scott, and no one can see the forest for the trees. This is the third World Series in 4 years. You're there, and you've watched two of these, and you've seen both these teams throughout the playoffs. Do you feel like either of these teams going into this game tonight or through the rest of the series has a decided advantage to win it?
No, I mean, I still like the Dodgers. It's just they do so many things so well, and their experience. They've been here before, you know. But you know, that said, I mean, Tampa Bay might be a bunch of a band of anonymous baseball players, but you know, they're really good. I think the Dodgers are going to end up winning. I think. You know, it's funny how momentum changes. No matter how many World Series you've watched, whether it's two or 30, it's funny how you always have to guard against that feeling about the wild momentum shifts, right? I mean, after game one, I mean, that looked like a complete mismatch, didn't it? I mean, you watch that, you're like, oh, my God, the Dodgers, if they don't sweep them, they're going to win it in five games. And then all of a sudden, the Rays, as you said, 10 hits in game two, they take the lead, they get back their balance back, and all of a sudden now it's 1-1, and it's like, oh my God, might the Rays win? You know, tonight's pivotal, no question, because game threes are big, because whoever loses, you know, now you got to play from behind again, and if the Dodgers are to lose tonight, then they will have gone from, they looked like in game one, as I said, they could sweep. Then they would have lost two in a row, and then you're going to get more of, oh, my God, the roof is falling, the sky is falling, you know, if they lose tonight, because it'd be like two losses in a row, and they're playing from behind. But, you know, I think, again, the Dodgers, the overall experience, the talent, the depth, it's still hard for me, without disrespecting Tampa Bay, because I don't want to downplay them. They are really good, and I do love that in the World Series, it's, you know, and granted, it's a different year, abbreviated 60-game season, but I do love that the best record in the American League is playing the best record in the National League. I mean, that's how a World Series should be.
No question. We don't often get one versus one. We got it here, and hopefully it'll turn out to be a great series. I think a lot of Dodger fans, though, would sign up for, let's just get this thing wrapped up by Sunday with Bueller, Urias, and Kershaw. You can follow him on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL. We certainly appreciate it. Enjoy your time out there at Globe Life Field. I know you got to get to a Zoom, Scott, so we certainly appreciate you taking out the time and joining us here.
Always a pleasure talking with you guys. Thanks. And, yeah, I'll be listening to your, what do you call the radio biz, the bumper music, right?
Yeah. Here we go. Check out this bump.
Sometimes we just play it the whole time because we're stupid.
Get a letter from legal.
Hey, we just got Dave Mason's number. Cates, me, and Matt Smith, Ronnie was excised, have all received the contact for Dave Mason of traffic. So we're not sweating it either. Wow, Matt.
That guy's really tall, Blake Snell, and then the guy he's talking to is really small.
We'll be right back.
It's a world of extremes.
The F1 report.
Oh.
On a World Series day.
Extremely good news there.
Portugal. Tomorrow and Sunday.
Petros and Money.
PMS.
With LA Sports. Now.
Big thank you to Scott Miller. Game three tonight, World Series, Dodgers, Rays. 5:08 p.m. first pitch, Walker Buehler versus Charlie Morton, Dave Vassay, Tim Cates, Alana Rizzo, Dave Roberts. A host of luminaries going to be part of that Dodger pregame.
Very special guest, David Price, who opted out. Former Ray, now Dodger. Dave will talk to him on the pregame show. Very cool.
I had to have a bullpen game.
What do you mean? The Dodgers are fine, Matt. No panic.
Just saying.
What? You got a problem?
Would have been the game two starter.
Hey, worked for Avery Bradley.
It did. You can listen to it on the iHeartRadio app if you can't find yourself near a radio or TV. So go ahead, download that. Click on the AM570 LA Sports icon, and you will stream the Dodger game for free.
Hey, great championship, guys. I wish I was with you. F1 report, everybody. Matt, the F1 calendar makes its 12th stop of the season this weekend to the coastal country of Portugal and the port city of Portimão for the green-bottled Heineken Portugal Grand Prix. Sipping on a Heineken. But more on the circuit and the host country in a moment, Matt. First, let's address the latest news in the paddock about the driver's shakeup for next season. On Thursday morning, we awoke to the news on social media that Haas team principal Gunther Steiner,
he's the best principal in the business,
was tired of looking like a wanker. Do I have that wanker sound?
Now we are a bunch of wankers. Yeah, a bunch of clowns here. And now we are a bunch of wankers. Yeah, a bunch of clowns here.
He's been Grosjean and Magnus. Crashed 2 years ago. It was the bad.
K-Mag and Grosjean, the Tim Cates like Romain Grosjean, will not be welcome back to the challenged American-owned team in 2021.
Thank God.
Rumors are flying all around of who's going to fill those seats for Gunther. Can I give it to me one more time?
And now we are a bunch of wankers. Yeah, a bunch of clowns here.
Yeah. Sergio Perez not coming back for Racing Point. Immediately rumored to be a Haas guy.
Hell yeah.
Checo, the Guadalajarian great.
Mexico for the American-run team.
Love it!
Go!
One seat for Haas appears to be reserved for Ferrari junior driver, quite possibly Mick Schumacher, son of legend Michael, and currently an F2 driver. With Haas being Ferrari-powered, it makes sense that the son of Schu, the former Ferrari world champ, would be the popular choice, the choice popular, among the Scuderia. Stay tuned to the F1 report for more breaking news there. Matt, in other driver drama, super sub Nico Hülkenberg is on standby again at Racing Point this weekend in the event that Lance Stroll fails another coronavirus test.
Hey, if your team's got COVID, I'm your guy.
He had to be drafted in the last minute at the Nürburgring after Stroll had taken ill. After testing negative earlier in the week, the whiny-voiced Canadian Stroll is hopeful of being able to return to action this week at Portimão. But with no guarantee that he'll be all clear, Racing Point says Hülkenberg has been flown to Portugal just in case. Only Don Martin would be able to make the drive from Cologne to Portugal in under 4 hours. Drive to survive indeed.
Pretty good deal for old Hulky.
Right?
Yeah, whatever. Pay me. Fly me out. I'll hang out, party.
With six races left and the most unique 2020 season, we could still have as many as six of the coveted 20 Formula One drives up for grabs in 2021. All right, let's talk about this weekend in Portugal. I sent you some Portuguese music, the Fado or Fado music. I have trouble with Portuguese. It's a tough accent. Like the best Portuguese musician, like one of them, João Gilberto. You know, João Gilberto. It's hard. You know. This will be the first F1 race.
It is a hard accent.
Yeah. Antonio Carlos Jobim. First race in Portugal, Matt, since 96, when Jacques Villeneuve guided his Williams to victory in Estoril near Lisbon. The circuit at Estoril was the final site for the Portuguese Grand Prix from 84 to 96, located a few miles away from the westernmost point of Europe. It is tended to be affected by stiff breezes, rainstorms coming off the Atlantic, and the biggest issue with the circuit in general, time and gain. The FIA asked for track facilities to be improved, but promises of renovations never fulfilled. mostly because of, you guessed it, federalized drugs. It's hard to get stuff done in Portugal. Everybody's on heroin. It's true. They either surf 100-foot waves, make sausage,
that's a hell of a wave,
play handball, or heroin. The FIA had enough. They called Portugal's bluff in 97 of the Grand Prix, and they replaced it with a Grand Prix in Spain. You lost your Grand Prix to your big brother.
Oh, no.
Again in 98.
Where's my heroin?
They put the race on in 98 on the F1 calendar, but they didn't make the improvement, so they canceled it again. So how did we get back here?
Why?
To this government-issued, drug-programmed country? For what? Good question, Kimmy. The Algarve? I don't know how to say it.
Algarve?
I don't know.
I think is what it is.
Algarve International Racing Circuit. Well, it was completed to do an F1 thing in 2008 in the coastal foothills just outside the city. Add in a global pandemic in 2020 that keeps the F1 calendar in Europe for most of the calendar. And Ola Portimão. The circuit itself resembles the Nürburgring and Spa tracks, fast-flowing, undulating nature, big downhill slopes, long straights. Drivers on Thursday described a lap around Portimão as a roller coaster ride.
It's got that giant straightaway and just a million tight turns. It's nasty.
In general, the track is good for overtaking, encouraging side-by-side racing due to its width.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. It's like Bristol.
What can we expect on Sunday, Matt? For the race! More of the same, probably. Lewis Allright Hamilton will look to guide his Silver Arrow Mercedes.
Allright Hamilton!
To the 92nd career Grand Prix win, finally moving past Michael Schumacher, the shoe, for the all-time lead. 69 points up on Bottas for the 7th Drivers' World Championship. However,
I'm okay with it.
Of course you are, Valtteri.
I'm totally fine.
Wet weather is forecast on Sunday. 60% chance of showers and gusty winds. There are flowers. It's a beautiful course or circuit. And that, with the uncertainty of a new circuit, should challenge the drivers over the 66 laps. Qualifying Saturday at 5:55 on Espen 2. Lights out at 6:05 on Sunday on Espen 2. And if I can get up from the big San Jose State Air Force, Fletcher and I will be up watching it. And that is your F1 report.
Well, for this week.
For this week, we had to get it. I could not do the Bachelorette and the F1, even if it was the World
Series. And you had to do the F1 with Haas, our American-based principal, booting their two crappy drivers, specifically the most hated driver in all the F1 circuit, Romain Grosjean.
We're going to get Checo.
We're going to get Checo, and we're going to get Mini Schumacher.
Now we're a bunch of wankers.
It's going to be unbelievable. Gunther.
Look like a bunch of clowns, yeah?
Most likable principal in all of F1.
Bunch of clowns, yeah? That's what we are.
Looking like a bunch of clowns.
Yeah?
Are you having kidding me? Oh, it's the best. Go back 2 years and watch his reaction when Grosjean and Freaking Magnussen crash into each other on the first lap.
Clowns.
It's amazing.
The F1 report, everybody. Portugal. Get your belt tied around your bicep, H the main line, and let's race. That was insensitive. Plus, we were years ahead, but now those stars are dead.